yeah. We're here. This Week in Mormons coming at you with our 110th episode, everybody.
We have more longevity than the Mormon Bachelorette. Mission accomplished.
Good for us. Al, did you by any chance submit your application to be the Mormon Bachelor?
I've been meaning to. When?
The deadline.
You?
No, I haven't done anything.
Wait, I need to let me go look at this application.
I can apply right now. Well, no, you have to make a video.
No, it's a link to YouTube video on why you should be. Oy.
You should, dude. You could totally crank one out like really quickly. Just set your camera and just go.
Should we do it? We'll do it at the end of this show.
Don't edit it or anything. Just throw it together and apply. They'll never choose you, but I just want you to do it. Anyway, speaking of the Bachelor,
I think it should be me dancing naked.
Okay. All right.
I like
that. Or do you remember that video I took of you last year when you were dancing in my bedroom and you started licking a knife?
Yeah, you put that on Facebook.
I might have.
No, you definitely did. I remember.
Yeah. Well, you could take that footage because it's very sensual, the dance you did with the knife. It shows what you could bring to the table.
It does show what I could bring to
a knife.
Table. An unspecified table.
So anyway. Yeah, I haven't done it either. I think the deadline's officially passed, but maybe they'll still accept.
No, it's still on there.
I thought the deadline was the 10th for some reason. I don't know, but if it's still there, hey, it's still there. Do it. It'll be great.
Wait, when is... Oh, gosh.
You seem very confused right now, my son.
Oh, boy.
What's wrong?
I don't know when the deadline is. We have to do this tonight, Jeff. We have to do this before you go to bed.
Thank you. There's nothing I love more because we're starting the show around 11:30 Eastern time. Sure, we'll do it. Why not? All right. I'm tired of talking about this.
Yeah. Anyway, how do we get on the Mormon Bachelor?
I don't know. You just started it. But speaking of, did you see The Real Bachelor? Oh, my goodness. Oh, what an ending.
I of course, did not see The Bachelor.
Well... Spoiler alert. If you don't want to know what happened, listeners, tune out now for the next minute and a half, maybe. So he chose Courtney. He chose the psycho hose beast. He loves her so much.
Wait, he chose Vienna?
He chose the crazy girl who was just been crazy the whole
time. Did she choose him?
Yeah, so much love.
Was there?
And
Who did you want him to choose?
Anybody but her. Really. So I guess the other chick, who was fine, but we all knew where this was going.
Why did he choose the woman not good for him?
Low self-esteem.
Why did men always choose the bad girls, Jeff?
Probably because she skinny dipped with him, and once you cross that line, there's no going back.
You know, that's actually true. That's like... You can be quasi-dating one or two girls, and then as soon as you kiss the one, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the other one is a million times better for you than her. You're swayed. Because this girl...
It's true.
Cleaved... She cloved unto you. She cleaved you unto you.
Clived. She clived.
She clivened herself to you and not her
right.
mother.
Yeah, so, well, it was a very sad ending for a very boring, pathetic season of The Bachelor. But my life will go on, as it often does. Because Mormondom is wonderful. Anyway, I hope you had a good weekend. I hope your life is happy.
I did. I'm still here in Missouri, still building on the quilt shop, which is... great fun. I've been neck deep in insulation for the last 2 weeks. It's great fun, Jeff.
Make you feel?
It makes me feel tender.
Tell me about your mother.
Here's the other great thing. I got an apartment. I'm officially, well, so I always come home. I'll come home for like 2 months out of the year. But because everybody else is out of the home, my parents have left me a bedroom. And so I made it a goal to be officially moved out by the time I was 30. And so here I am. I got an apartment back here in Missouri, an apartment in Utah. Everything's out. I got all my junk out of the house. I'm officially moved out by 30.
And are you joining us from your apartment?
No, I don't have internet there yet. I'm still sleeping at mom's. Ah,
I see. I guess that works. I mean, I don't know. I guess for me personally, if I felt like my if I was only there a couple of months a year, I wouldn't care if I stayed at home. But
well, I don't care either. But there is
your
something.
Parents care.
No, they don't. They don't care either because nobody. Who else is going to stay here? However, there's something about like I'm shoved in a tiny room and I've got like a life's worth of junk. And I have little knickknacks I want to put up on a fireplace and little paintings to hang and cases of books and things.
It'll be your little party land.
It will.
It'll be your mean bachelor pad. Hamilton, Missouri's singles scene won't know what to do with itself.
It
Am I right?
Is going to be off the hook.
Okay. Well, good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well played,
sir. How was your week? How
was
your week?
Fantabulous, you know? Had some Turkish food. Yeah.
That was it, Turkish food.
Turkish food, had some Wendy's, watched Mary Poppins. Really, if Mary Poppins is a part of one's weekend, it's...
Jeff, your week sounds.
I'm sorry, Al. I already moved out of my parents' house, so I crossed that barrier a long time ago.
Jeff, I would challenge that. I suspect you still have junk at your parents' house.
Of course I do. You're nuts.
That's what I'm talking about. You got to get your junk out.
My mom has a rule. You don't have to take all your stuff away until you buy your own house. That's the rule. You know, it's fine. And since it's our generation's never going to own anything, basically my stuff's going to be there forever.
That's not true. That shouldn't be true.
It shouldn't be true,
but
the American dream is lost.
At some point, you've got to take ownership of your possessions and go home.
I will when I have property and a place to put all of it. I will gladly do so.
Okay. Well, so outside mm-hmm. The Bachelor and my move and your Turkish food.
And Mary Poppins. Hello.
Not a great week, all in all. In fact...
No, it was...
In fact, Mormondom has been somewhat quiet this week, too. I feel like this is just
here's
been like,
the
keep your head down and power through type week.
Here's the problem. The whole baptism thing in the temples just won't die. And so, you know, us, we, in our capacity as, if I dare say, Mormon journalists, we...
I would say...
Or Mormon aggregators, whatever you want to call us. But either way, that's all there is, though. You look around, we have to dig to find stuff that is not related to the temple baptism story. And the thing is, they keep reporting on it, but it's the same stuff we've talked about for weeks already. And so there's not a lot more we can say about it, really. There might be a couple of things. Oh, like, for example, like unto the Iraq and such as... Peggy Fletcher Stack does say that menstruating women apparently have been banned from doing baptisms in the temple.
I want to know what menstruating woman thought it was a good idea to go and do baptisms in the temple.
Yeah, I don't want to get inappropriate or graphic here, but I could understand some reservations.
There are times when you just need to say, you know what? I'm going to do initiatories.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But the point is, if she's doing baptism, she might not be endowed. So that's her only option.
Then you say, you know what? I'm going to go and ponder at the temple today. Let's not get in the communal swimming pool. I mean, this isn't rocket science. Why do we even need to ban this? Mothers, teach your children. First, teach them not to go out with the bad boys. Second, teach them that when menstruating, stay home. Like, don't go do baptisms. Bad idea.
I'm just waiting for the hate mail. I just can't wait.
Jeff, like, am I crazy here? This feels like common sense.
No, I don't think you're crazy. I just think in your classic way, you are. You go about explaining yourself in a very blunt and, crass way. So it's very enjoyable.
At least I don't have to write an article about it, Peggy Fletcher Stack.
She's got nothing else to do. It's a slow week in Mormonism. We just talked about that. What else
better,
is she gonna say?
Better than menstruating women.
Oh, hold on. Well, real quick.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, just building on this, David Axelrod, Obama's chief strategist and dude. Obama, right? For some reason, he tweeted some cryptic tweet that says, this is a Medicare story, and the link went to Peggy Fletcher Stack's article.
No, he didn't say this is a Medicare story.
Yeah, he did. And then he deleted
the tweet. What did the tweet say? What did the tweet
say? The tweet actually said, if you look at it, it says, writing URS, this is the Medicare story. And then he attached the link to the Salt Lake Tribune story by Peggy Fletcher Stack, and then subsequently deleted the tweet.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I couldn't figure out what the URS meant.
There are three options here. This was an on-purpose accident.
This is from Axelrod
wanted to promote the idea that Mormons are weird. Because, you know. Or two, it was just an innocent Twitter mistake, like a Obama staffer messed up, tried to tease about the Mormon issue. Or it was a major Twitter mistake. And Axelrod likes to send his friends links to weird things, but he pulled a what's-his-face from last year. Basically where he meant to send it like as a direct message, but put it on his general account. I don't know. You know, the dude.
As part of this story.
Sorry. Jeff,
and I depend on you to check my rants here, but the church did not ban menstruating women.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's no policy about that. I don't.
Mormon Something's feminists fallen. Recently learned that some young women were wrongly blocked from doing LDS proxy baptisms, which include wearing all white clothing and being fully immersed in water because they were menstruating. They were wrongly blocked. You understand that, Jeff?
Yes, I understand.
They enlist readers to call all the temples in the United States and report on which ones followed this practice. It showed as many as 10 temples of the 124 may bar young women from participating at that, quote, time of the month.
Maybe this falls under our whole why they do that segment. Why do we bar?
I want so bad because of, was it Rick or Rich that loves her? One of our listeners thinks very highly of you. And I, therefore, want to think highly of you, too.
Roger. Hey, she's just talking about the issues, you know?
The prohibition seems to stem from an active folk doctrine of ritual uncleanliness or even impurity,
where
a bleeding
really
woman
well.
May somehow render the temple defiled, says Elizabeth Hammond, a Mormon in Boston at Feminist Mormon Housewives.
Isn't that just like conjecture, though? I mean, what is there to back that up?
Nothing.
At least that point of view. I mean, I understand we do have a problem with a lot of folk belief stuff and hearsay within the church. That you know, we have these practices and things that we do because of long-standing whatever, but I don't know of any way to actually back that up.
It's even better is in the comments there's links to Leviticus 15, where it says, if a woman has a discharge and the discharge of her body is blood,
shut up. Just stop
she
it.
Shall be set apart 7 days, and whoever touches her shall be unclean until evening. Everything that she lies on during her impurity shall be unclean, and everything that she sits on shall be unclean. Like, oh, Peggy Fletcher Stack, we love you so. That's it. I'm closing that story. I'm done.
You had a lot more fun with that story than I thought you would.
I had a lot more fun than I thought I would. That was great.
So what was the other one you were going to mention before I cut you off?
No, I was going to go right to the David Axelrod.
Oh, well, sorry.
I was excited about him. Obama's boy. Just tossing out some random menstruating women being barred from the temple.
Yeah, so
I don't know if anybody read that and was like, twice. No, how dare they?
Mormons are so weird.
And I also want to know if anybody read that and said, Peggy Fletcher Stack, there is zero fact in this. You're just propagating a rumor that is silly. There's no good, there's no bad. You're just saying you're regurgitating randomness.
Yeah.
We need her payroll.
Okay. I'm going to move on to something great. The church put out last week, the church put out a fun little infographic via the newsroom. A lot of it uses the data from the recent that Pew study that really got in depth about church stuff. A couple of other surveys as well, but especially the Pew one. So this infographic is clearly aimed at non-Mormons to understand us better. I think it's pretty good overall. I think
it's,
we should.
It's an infographic.
Let's comb through some of it, though, because I already take issue with the very first thing they put up right now. The very first factor.
Okay, go ahead.
Did you see which one the first one is?
Percentage of sacramental worship services that focus on Jesus Christ.
100%. I think we're grasping at straws there. I think ideally it should be 100%, but many of us can safely say
they made a shift. They made a shift about a year and a half ago, where now like the topics are supposed to be faith in Jesus Christ, or like being a leader in the Christ-centered church. Aren't they like? Actually, no, that's a complete lie, because I just gave a talk on being a good example.
Yeah, well, and that's okay, because all that stuff in the end, all that stuff comes back to Christ, obviously.
Well, you'd hope
but
so, but
I'm saying
how many
this
guys
more
get
is
up there and talk about being a good example from their scouts and never get around
that's
to Jesus?
And that's what I'm saying, that ideally, yes, everything was perfect, but really, if you go to our meetings, it's a high percentage, but to say 100% of our services completely focus on Christ, it'd be nice if they did, but people get off on all kinds of tangents and speak nothing of doctrine half the time. I mean, we're an imperfect people. It's okay. It's how it is. But other than that,
I think it's interesting, because they just throw in like fasting once a month. Mormons go without food and drink and donate at least the cost of two meals to charity. It's kind of that's a random thing to plug in there.
I think it's interesting that they say that Jesus Christ is mentioned every 1.7 verses in the Book of Mormon. Also interesting that they talk about the sacrament showing bread and water, but they bother to say communion in parentheses, which I think is just kind of an interesting all of.
Well, they're connecting.
I understand.
I think it would have been more interesting to show me how many loaves of bread are consumed in sacrament services each year.
Yeah.
More than that, how many loaves of bread are stuck in the freezer for eternity and never actually used in sacramental services? Where is that number?
I don't know.
More than that, how many loaves of bread actually go moldy, but the priests don't care to look at it, and so they still use it as sacramental bread? Where's that on the infographic?
I don't know, but it's pretty good. It's the kind of thing that you could show people.
Church is the fourth largest religion. Yeah, it made good rounds on Facebook. I think this is smart of the church, though. They're not great at infographics. I don't think this is a great infographic. I don't get much out of this. It doesn't help me visualize the data very well. There's two or three things on here that I think did well.
Such as
the fourth largest church, that's helpful. The total membership is nice. Number of congregations worldwide, and then members living inside or outside. Like, those are visualized well. Everything else is just, like, pretty it's really pat ourselves on the back-esque, right? Here we are, we're great. 9 out of 10 members pray weekly, and more than 80% pray daily. It's like, all right, whatever. No one was wondering about that. But I like that they're doing these things that are less abrasive and more share-friendly, right? Like, it's things that I wouldn't mind tossing onto my news feed and just saying, hey, check this out. Ever wonder about this? Here's some answers.
Boom.
And people can consume it quickly, and it's not overly religious. I like that. Good
Perfect.
Work,
so
Mormons.
Good work, newsroom. Just wanted to give you some love.
So I got a quick one for you here. As a follow-up, we talked about that LDS bishop, old Amado Rojas.
That was some time ago, yes.
He was a bishop out in Utah, and he had a 13-year-old girl that went to a church party and got, she was
sloshed,
molested, I guess.
Totally. Oh.
Right? Well, she was abused is the word they use.
Basically, somebody was abused and the bishop
She was abused at the church party, went and confessed to her bishop, and her bishop said, well, this Amado Rojas, he said nothing. And it's interesting because the actual abuse, we didn't know about this before, but it was at a water fight at the party. The girl testified that a man grabbed and groped her. And so I can, like, there's a part of me that understands old Rojas's, maybe dilemma in going to the police over something like that. Maybe he downplayed it in his mind. But the fact is, your responsibility as a ecclesiastical leader is to go right to the authorities anytime something like that is confessed.
Especially in this case. Yeah. It's not like he's protecting someone's privacy for something that's legal. I mean, this is the fact that somebody was violated in a way, and that's not, you know, that's different.
Right. Right.
Laws were broken.
Right. You know? Well, and like, if it were me, and of course, like, I've been in circumstances where, you know, I've heard confessions and had to go and connect them with the authorities and say, all right, well, now we got to have a chat with these guys. I mean, you can look at it and downplay it easily, right? Like, in your mind, you'd be like, oh, no, that's not a big deal. When in fact, it is a big deal. The girl's 13. She's like a helpless victim in this circumstance. But,
for sure.
You know, I'm not like, I don't look at Rojas and think, what a scummy dude. So he accepted a plea, and the plea was that he won't break any laws for 6 months, and then he can have the charge dismissed.
It's a pretty good plea. In 6 months' time, I am free to break laws once more.
So it means that there's no admission of guilt. His not guilty plea stands, but it was something to get them both out of the court. So that's done. Just thought you should know.
Interesting.
You know.
All right, over on CNN, Mitt Romney is trying to see if he can eke out a win in Mississippi or Alabama on Tuesday.
Will it happen?
I don't know. Polling's been interesting, because that would be big for him, because he does not perform well in, like, the South, right? So who knows what will happen with Mr. Romney. Point is, he appeared on the nationally syndicated Rick and Bubba show. They asked him some questions about the church, and we're just going to listen in to how Mitt handles this. Are you ready, Al?
I'm ready.
I'm going to hit play right now. Listen.
During the program, one of the hosts pressed Romney on the Mormon church's belief that the U.S. is a land of promise.
Do you, as a Mormon, believe that America is a new promised land, yes or no?
You're going to have to go talk to the church and ask them what they think about that. There's no question about the fact that Israel is the promised land.
I mean,
that's what the Bible tells us.
That's just one quick snippet. But the dumb thing about that is, like, what a chance to just rah-rah America. I mean, come on, Mitt. Use your politicking.
He doesn't know how. It's just not what he does.
Further on in this interview, they ask about if he thinks that a first strike against Iran is smart.
Which is unrelated to our podcast, but...
Yeah, but he says yes.
Yeah, good for him. Yeah, it's kind of funny.
Necessarily unrelated to our podcast, though. I mean, there's ramifications to starting a war with Iran.
This is true, but there are ramifications for anything. I mean, really.
Religious ramifications.
Yeah, I just wish Mitt would, you know, this is once again Mitt trying to downplay Mormonism and upplay evangelism. So it's kind of, good job, buddy. Hope it pays off.
Old Mitt.
Old Mitt. He could be a geyser.
What does that mean?
Like Old Faithful?
Is that some sort of euphemism? I don't understand.
No, I wanted him to be I hear to say Old Mitt. It makes me think of he's like they're like a famous university.
Hey, so let me tell you, everybody. Kansas City Temple.
What's happening?
The only temple being dedicated in North America this year.
Really?
Yes.
I thought Brigham City Temple was about done.
If you would like to see a dedication, you should come to Kansas City.
Is it really? Is that how they're advertising it? Is the only North American temple, or is that just you?
No, that is how they're advertising it.
Interesting.
Neat, right? So you can make a reservation now, and you're welcome to get tickets and go. I may or may not be singing in the choir.
Whoa. Back up the phone.
These sweet pipes.
You are going to sing in the choir.
Lead kindly light amid encircling.
No, I want to hear you actually sing now. Like, really, for realsy, sing.
Yeah. So will President Monson. So ask him how it goes. Booyah!
I've never heard you, like, genuinely sing in my life.
Oh, I've genuinely sang.
pretty sure you haven't.
I've sung the singings, the Bard's Tale, a number of times.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, no, I definitely, I am a huge singer. mainly along with André Rieu.
Oh,
my bambino caro.
I want to go to this dedication now just so I can see you in a choir.
Yeah, I might do it. I might do it. If I'm still here, I'll do it. So that's happening, and that's pretty exciting. It's really exciting for around here because...
Round here!
Because there is a lot of, like, I don't know, there's a lot of interest in it around here because they're so against Mormons. Still, there's a lot of prejudice. And I'm excited to have people be able, like, I'm surprised at how many people are curious enough, they're just going to go and see the temple. Right? Like people that would never normally have anything to do with Mormonism. They're going out. They're going to check
it out. People are going to drive in from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Jeff, that's a 3-hour drive. No one's going to make that.
Why not? Just because the Far West Temple's in their district?
There is no Far West Temple, Jeff.
I thought there was some kind of temple. Winter Quarters, that's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, my, my.
Don't they got one of them temples there?
Yes, they do, Jeff.
You are offensive
to my people.
Would that pertain to Lincoln? Would that go
my
to that
people
temple?
My people are offended.
By what? By the fact that I care about their geographical distribution and the ways in which they go to the temple?
I'm a killed the wrong man is which why I'm here.
I'm just saying here. I'm just saying here.
All right. You know what? I'm not going to let you mock my heritage anymore.
No one here is mocking nobody's heritage, all right?
I watched Quigley Down Under last night, and I wanted Tom Selleck kick. I could shoot you from 900 meters.
It was just like so from left field. That made me so happy. By the way, that movie confused me because when they call it Quigley Down Under, it made me feel like there was an original movie just called Quigley, which there's not.
No, you didn't connect the fact he's down in Australia?
Yeah, but like saying Quigley Down Under makes it seem like it's like The Rescuers Down Under, like the sequel. Like, I was very confused when that movie arrived.
Jeff, you are a simple man with a simple mind.
This is true. I'm not capable of complex thought. So, bearing that in mind, let's see how I do with the next topic. So, good old Joanna Brooks wrote a random article called, "Is Mitt Romney a Closet Male Chauvinist? And How Do Mormon Men Really View Women?" I admittedly don't love the way she treats all of this, because, of course, we talk about Mitt Romney and his experience as a bishop and a stake president. And she even Joanna Brooks mentions that, of course, there are conservative men who believe in very tight gender roles that, for example, a Mitt Romney supporter in Idaho emailed her and threatened her with excommunication and told her to humble herself. I also didn't know that we could like remotely excommunicate people.
No,
like,
it's called a citizen's excommunication. You can stop any woman who oversteps her bounds and threaten her with excommunication.
We're going to start doing that to a lot of people. Anyway, so I feel
I
like the...
I declare excommunication. I like it. Go on.
So the article itself is pretty fine. I don't think it touches any new ground we haven't thought of. But I did want to put it to our listeners more about how they feel about how Mormon men really view women. If you're a man or a woman, you know, what you think about official church policy on stuff, on gender roles, and what the reality of things are. I think the comments on Joanna's blog definitely highlight some of that. Because I think that there's some things I admit I don't fully understand. Like, I guess I get it, like a ward clerk, I guess, has to be a man because that's a priesthood stake calling, right? But but I've been in some wards where, like, the executive... the bishop's secretary has been a woman, and she can, and that's totally okay. Oftentimes they don't do that though.
Who was it?
The bishop's secretary.
Really?
Yeah. I guess that's the executive secretary. I don't think it's written anywhere that has to be.
Here's the thing. Women are better at organizing things and planning things. Why can't there be women leading in these things and taking notes and organizing stuff and doing all that junk?
Because they're supposed to be.
Have you ever seen a man secretary in the elders' quorum? He's a mess. He is a mess.
This is true, as are most Elder Scorn presidencies, just in general.
Yeah, let's look at the president. A mess. I wish that we could have a woman Elder Scorn president.
I know. We'd get stuff done.
We totally would. And
but see, sometimes
the object lessons would be relevant.
Yeah. So sometimes I wonder about that, though. I mean, we do have a lot of things. That's one thing with positions that do need to be fulfilled in a priesthood capacity, and that's fine. But oftentimes there are other callings that we just don't extend to women, not based on, I don't know, is it just tradition, I suppose? Just our classic mindset that we assume a man has to be the secretary for the bishop, for example?
You know what's interesting is for a long time, I don't even know if this is true or not, but I was told that a woman could open the sacrament meeting with a prayer, but a man had to close.
That cannot possibly be true.
That's what I understood. A Melchizedek priesthood holder had to close the meeting.
Where did you hear? Was this some
this has been
hearsay?
No. Well, this has been taught to me by a number of bishops. Like, well, not a lot, but like
this also falls under why they do that.
Yeah. That's what I'm getting at, though, is I think that there's a lot of little cultural things that have crept in that are in place, sort of like the looking over at the bishop when you. After you finish blessing the sacrament.
Right, like we've talked about.
That's the man. That's a man thing that needs to be there. And this is, we put it all this way, and that makes sense to us, so we're happy with it. And that's just the way it is.
Right.
How do we fight that, Jeff? How do we fix that?
Well, I mean, what is there to fight? I don't know. It's just weird. We have this... There's what's on paper in the church, and then of course the thing is even the ideal we might strive for of you know, a man who works and a mom who's able to be home with kids and blah blah blah. I mean, so rarely is that the pure reality within the church, and I don't think the church doesn't accommodate for that. I think we obviously do. I mean, if you look at all these I'm a Mormon videos, for example, they clearly show a very diverse membership base, and the church is all but endorsing these people, you know, as good members of the church who represent Mormonism is what it should be, and that's great. I think sometimes though we do fail to recognize the realities and just embrace them and let things be what they are. I mean, how often, you know, you will have a Relief Society president who might work full time and still have kids and do all this stuff. And that's how it is. And it doesn't mean that she's bad or that someone who is a stay at home mom is more qualified to serve in that capacity or, you know, I can't say I fully know what it's like. I'm not a woman in the church. And, you know, I don't know what it's like to be on that end. Many women have said things to me like they're grateful to have the priesthood and to have men in their lives who can help exercise it. And this is not a discussion on whether women should have the priesthood, but
you
as
know,
far as the roles they could have, like where we are overlooking things that women can do in wards because we assume to just give it to a man to do.
You know what's interesting, too, is not the birthing part of, like, you know, we always default to that. We say, well, women can have babies, but men can't. You have this great miracle of creating life that we can't do, which is totally 100. What?
Oh, I don't think that's the, I don't think those are.
Totally 100% true. Well, but like even in the comments of Joanna Brooks's article right here, right? I see guys citing that as sort of a, why, how dare you complain? You get to have kids. And I think that's wrong. It's almost sliding that as a, you know, as something great by just throwing it out there and saying, ah, you have this, quit your griping. So men don't do that. It's a bad idea.
Yeah. So sisters or men, if you have gripes about this stuff, I mean, think about how many callings we actually do have in the church that women can very, very capably, probably better than most men fulfill. But we don't often think to go that route. If I'm ever a bishop, I'm going to try to think outside the box. As I assemble my cabinet, I will ensure that at least 50% of them are female.
Your ward youth leadership council?
Look, I've got to shore up the female votes. You know, I've got to get the nerds, the jocks.
Savvy.
The women, yeah.
Savvy.
Part of it. All right, I'm done with this.
There's a new for Strength of Youth. I can't believe we haven't mentioned this yet, because that's been around
for
a while.
I threw it on there. How long ago did they actually release it?
I felt like a month ago.
Has it been about a month?
And just to make sure, let's see, dating.
Well, this is what's interesting. I wanted to talk more in depth about what distinguishes it from the previous, the outgoing one.
They're getting less and less specific.
A little bit, yeah. And I think they kind of have to. But in the globalizing church, they can't invoke American standards and styles and stuff and assume that that's a blanket thing for the whole church like they used to. I mean, that's so, why they don't say no R-rated movies, because the whole world doesn't use the American rating system for movies. So
that's true. Don't date till you're 16 still says that. Developing serious relationships too early can limit the number of other people you meet and can perhaps lead to immorality. See, that's you and I, Jeff. We've avoided pairing off so long that now we've met so many people.
Did I? No, I had a steady girlfriend like 2 days after I was 16.
Now,
I did the wrong thing.
Now we're at risk of the old phrase, never leave something good to find something better, because once you realize you had the best has found something better.
Okay. Well, the one thing I'm thinking about here is that they, I believe they've added some categories to it this time around.
Yeah, cooking, that wasn't in it before.
I don't think it's in it now.
Puppetry? I don't remember that.
Ventriloquism, though, has been there for a long time. But agency, accountability, dating's been there, dress and appearance, education, entertainment and media has generally been there, family, friends, gratitude, honesty and integrity. I think it's very interesting, though, that gratitude is a section. That's new. And that's a big push in the church. Language, music and dancing, physical and emotional health, repentance, Sabbath day, service, sexual purity, tithes, work and self-reliance.
You notice they're doing the, they have like the little iPhone notification update things in the corner.
Yep.
Basically, it's like one new video, one new article.
But I think it's fascinating they actually devoted a section to gratitude, because
they've always had that. That's always been there.
Has gratitude really always been there?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Jeff, you never like read this as a youth. I had to teach this to hundreds of kids as an EFY counselor. Which ones did I teach? I taught education, and I led out by saying, kids, I'm a successful businessman, right? I dropped out of high school. You should too. And then they didn't have me teach that one anymore.
Here's some interesting stuff, though.
I did language, and I had kids role play language. And a kid dropped the F-bomb, right?
I think I remember you telling me about that one.
Oh, yeah. That's one of those where you're like, all right, you know what? We're done. We're done. Just don't swear. That's all I'm trying to say, people.
But I like that they've adapted some stuff. Like, they make the point, don't tell crude jokes and stories. They as much as say, don't like sext and stuff along those lines.
What? They call out sexting?
They don't actually say sexting, but they make the point to say avoid, like, inappropriate, you know, that using good language and being sexually pure falls under the umbrella of, like, you know, online communication and texting and stuff like that. That's part of that.
Where does it say texting?
I found it before we were talking.
Oh, well.
It's here.
No, this is, well.
I promise
it's,
you.
It's about time that we have a good social media centric.
Do not seek entertainment or make purchases on the Sabbath.
That's a fact.
Just looking out. Physical and emotional health.
How do you feel about gas stations, automatic pumps on the Sabbath?
I really avoid having to go get gas on Sunday.
I still do too, but it's only out of principle because there's no one even there. Gas stations are unmanned.
This is true, but it's like work. I feel like even if I've had to get gas, it detracts from the feeling of the Sabbath. And because you're buying something, even if it's on a credit card, you are buying something.
It's true.
There's that. But I'm sorry, I'm trying to find the...
Is there anything about menstruating women in there?
Sadly, my friend, I appears there's not. It appears there's not. Work and self-reliance, has that always been there?
In other news, I'm moving us along.
That's fine.
The Provo has been commissioned to address closing streets for the Mormon Temple. This is a chunk of 100 South at University to accommodate for the temple. So they're going to close that section off. They're doing traffic analyses and things like that. Kind of interesting. So
I'm assuming this is just to build the parking lot where the travel lodge and stuff was. And so that you don't have to walk across the street to go to the temple. So it can all be on one piece of property. That's my
guess. I think it'd be nice too, just to have a little bit of grounds there, because right now it's right on the corner. Like,
yeah.
Sidewalk, temple.
Yeah. And I'm certain that's the idea. The point is to have the parking lot down on south of where the temple is going to be, and then have it all just be one you know, one block, one lot.
So that could be fun. It would. I think this would be a huge boom for that downtown walking district. Right now, they try so hard to make it like a great place to go walk around, and it's not. And so having something.
It's okay walking Center Street.
Yeah, it is. It's okay, but it's not.
It's got some cool stuff. Great. And if you ever go in the courthouse, the courthouse has got some amazing architecture and pieces inside of it. So.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, sure. Tonga has the most schools built by the church.
What?
Just throwing that out there.
What does that mean?
The church has built more schools in Tonga than any other nation, Jeff.
Like per capita or just total?
Than anywhere else in the world. The only other competitors, as far as I know, are Cook Islands and New Zealand.
Huh.
Maybe Kiribati, something like that. But we got a lot of schools going on in Tonga.
Yeah, well, you know. Also,
why isn't the church building schools in Missouri?
Because that's just lame there.
Tell me my people don't need it as bad as Tonga.
I'm going to tell you something about your people. So, apparently, we are turning homeless people into 4G hotspots.
Oh, I heard about that. That is true. South by Southwest. That's
this has
not
nothing
my
to
people.
Do with the. This has
that's
nothing
South
to do with
by
the
Southwest
church.
Down in Austin.
Well, I meant the homeless people.
They equip homeless people with a 4G hotspot. And then they walk around and like, hey, use my wireless for a dollar. Part of me is like, brilliant. And the other part of me is like, you can't turn people into machines, into just like common goods. It's like, that's like bringing slavery back or butlering.
Butlering will never die. Okay. I have a goal in life to have a butler.
Who will be your butler? I can't even find somebody ship my packages, let alone butler.
Well, that's because you know you don't have the right people out there in Missouri. You got to go down to Austin, find the real.
There's
the
good
talent.
Homeless.
True talent. Let's see what else. There's a meeting house that's supposed to go up in Queens around the Flushing Meadows, Bayside area. A lot of controversy, but mostly just the typical stuff. It'll be big. It'll be tall. Residents don't like it.
There is a movie coming out. Well, this was one that debuted at South by Southwest and got a lot of good reviews. So I suspect we'll see it soon.
Oh, I love this.
It features the story, or it tells the story of a young Mormon girl who believes she had an immaculate conception after listening to a pop song on a cassette tape.
Can I interject for a second? When they say Mormon in this movie, they actually mean fundamentalists who like live in Kanab or Colorado City, but
I don't think they differentiate though.
They don't differentiate, but just so everybody knows, this is
she
not
she flees
like...
with her brother who's been banished, and the two end up living in Las Vegas, hanging around a pack of skateboarding street rats. Sounds like a
so
smashing
it's...
hit.
It's got some music. The kids are going to go crazy.
My problem with
this is going to change your world.
More just people not doing their research. Just like these stupid, nuanced misconceptions that they propagate do more harm for guys like me that are trying to explain that we're not Amish. We're not Mennonite. We're not fundamentalists. We're not polygamists. We're not like, why? Why not just...
Because that does not have as much pizzazz.
It truly doesn't.
That's the whole reason why. I mean, if they portray it like any normal congregation, it's not interesting.
I do like the idea that a pop song on a cassette tape could make me pregnant, though. I'd like to think I was that innocent once.
To think that my music has that power.
2 years later. Ka-ka!
Oh, you mean my old band? That's right. If you want to hear dated late 90s pop punk music,
I do.
It will get you prego, apparently.
Well, so that's all for us, I think.
It's going to be a full show.
We're going to call that a full show.
All right.
I actually like that show. I like that show for a number of reasons. One, the
quickly
menstruating Peggy Fletcher Stack. I liked her.
Also, we should do some recaps. We always forget to do this. Yes, menstruating, Bubba. Citizens Excommunications.
Bubba, of course, is just meaning the radio show that Mitt Romney was on where he was unsure what the promised land really was.
But yeah, feminism, maybe like feminism, women's roles in the church, your feelings on that.
The church claims 100% of sacrament meetings are focused on Christ. Maybe that's because they all take the sacrament. We take sacrament each one.
Okay, that's fair.
You can buy that.
And a number of other good things, you know, Provo Temple closing. Mitt likes to drop the ball in some ways.
Are demanding to know the statistic for how many loaves of frozen bread there are currently across the kitchens of the church?
Okay, report back to us next week, Al.
All right, I will find out.
All right. Please find us, of course, at facebook.com/thisweekinmormons and thisweekinmormons.com for all of your podcasting joy. And shoot us an email, contact@thisweekinmormons.com. Let us know what you think.
Twitter.com/TheRealTwim.
Yeah, and we're also on Google Plus, and of course you can find us on YouTube at TweeMormons.
And Pinterest.
Pinterest, which when I post something once every 2 weeks.
Jeff, you need to be a better poster on Pinterest.
I was really interested in Pinterest like for the first couple of days, and now I just don't care.
I'm liking it more and more.
But I did get a pin posted that I put of Zach and Kelly from Saved by the Bell because it's streaming on Netflix now, and I was very happy to find out that news.
Here's what I love about Pinterest. Wedding dresses. They're so pretty.
That's really all there is to it.
It's true. All right. See you next week, man.
Goodbye, Al. Thanks for listening to us, everybody. And, of course, we hope you'll spread the word about this. And Sunday School Bonanza, our 10-minute gospel doctrine preparatory podcast. Keep an eye out for that. We enjoy doing that as well. And we thank you for your listenership. This has been This Week in Mormons for the week of March 13th, 12th.
Of March. The week of March.
The Ides of March. All right. Goodbye, everybody.
See you, man.
I got the rules. Now I do modeling. I got the rules. Modeling. I got the rules. I'm winning. Very exciting. I'm winning. 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 I'm sure there'll be some girl that might be hating on me. She makes me sick. We hate you. I don't know why he would keep someone who's so shallow and so vapid.
Because she says things like,
should I take my robe off?
Yes, please.
Let's go bikini-less.
Let's go bikini-less.
Ah, my skirt. My skirt. Oh,
classy, right?
Well, yes, the girl's got plans.
I'm a move maker.
Amazing.
Move maker. I'm a move maker.
Game on.
Move maker.
So what just happened with the models? What are you laughing at here?
You.
I'm so tired of
them. All the girls love her.
I got the rules.
She got the rules.
I got the rules.
And I do modeling.
Modeling.
I got the rules.
I'm winning.
Just like Charlie Sheen.
I'm winning.
She's a model.
I got the rules.
Likes to go topless.
I got the rules.
I'm winning.
He wants to kiss me.
Ooh.
Winning.
Snap, girls. Show's over. You can all go home. Pack your bags. Kill chat. Phew.